You are listening to a sermon podcast brought to you by Northminster Presbyterian Church of Greater Atlanta.
The month of August for many is a time of transition as children get ready to head back to school, older young people get ready to head off to college or head back to college. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be reading from some of the letters in the New Testament, and we'll be looking at them as letters for those who are in a time of transition, ways to handle themselves, advice. Their small sermon series will be called Letters from Home. Back in the days when people used to write letters, they might write a letter to their child as they're getting ready to head off to school. Some words of wisdom, some advice, some things like that. But even for those of us who August may not look different than any other month, the words of these letters can be helpful reminders to us as to what God is trying to tell us and how we might carry ourselves in this world. So this morning we're reading from the letter of Colossians. This is chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. It's on page 201 in the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible. And this is the New Life in Christ. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living in that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. In October of 1996, I met a woman, and I was able to talk about as well as I am right now. And not being the smoothest guy around, I did absolutely nothing about it. And in December of 1996, the friend that introduced me to this woman came to my office and said, "You really need to ask Katie out." She said, "I've been trying not to interfere, but you're not doing anything." So about a week later, Katie asked herself out on my behalf. And the timing was perfect because we had like 3 dates right before Christmas. So it was right in that window of, okay, a Christmas present, do I? Or what is that? What do I do? And around like December 21st, the same woman that introduced me to her came to my office with a gift. And I unwrapped the gift, and it was a picture of her and her husband and me and Katie. And I unwrapped it, and I looked at it, and she goes, I know you just had 3 dates. I know. And so maybe it's too soon, you know, to have a framed picture of her on your desk. But, you know, she's really something. And I was like, well, yeah, absolutely. So that year then, on Christmas Day, after all the worship services were done the night before, I flew home to North Carolina for a week. And so I took this picture with me. And I was talking to my dad, and I was telling him all about this woman that I'd gone out with a couple times and just how amazing she is and all this sort of stuff. And I showed him this picture of her, and I'm just talking about, oh my gosh, you know, she's studying to be a teacher, and it's just, wow. And my dad looks at me, goes, she sounds like something. I said, yeah. And he said, boy, for the love of God, be nice to her. And what was interesting was that was common advice. This neighbor of Katie's down the street from the house that she had grown up in, he owned a Chinese restaurant in town, and just amazing food, and Katie and I would go there a lot, and he was such a nice guy. He would come out, and he would say, here, I brought you some extra crab rangoon on the house, you know, compliments and everything like that, and he'd set it down, and he'd look at me, and he'd go, be nice to her. And that advice has served me well over the last 17 years and 15 years into this marriage. So I asked you last week, I sent an email out to the congregation asking you what is some of the best advice that you've ever received. And it was really interesting. Some of the things that I got back were things like, don't sweat the small stuff. Forgive yourself. Then there were other things, like when you meet someone for the first time, make sure that you offer them a firm handshake. Someone said theirs was, you don't get to be mean. And what was interesting in the responses that I got, there were pretty balanced between things that were more mental, you know, thought-focused, values-based, beliefs kind of things. And then there were many others that were still more about behavior and how you carry yourself and the way that you act. And this passage is exactly about that this morning in Colossians. It's about that balance between the two. What it is that we think and believe, and then how we carry ourselves as a result of those thoughts and those beliefs. We say in the Presbyterian tradition that we don't earn our way into heaven. It's not our good works, but it's the grace of Christ, and that we are saved by His grace. And it's our faith that matters, not our works. But truly the way that people are going to be able to tell if we are people of faith or not is really based on what we do, how we act, how we treat other people, how we treat ourselves. And so both sides of that are important. We can say what we believe, we can say what is important to us, what is of value for us, but if our actions don't reflect those beliefs, those opinions, and those values, then how close do we really hold those values to us? And so simply put, our actions are important. Our behavior is important. Now, I have a strange question for you. I'd like to know what is the most random song that you might have on your iPod? And if you're not an iPod person, we can talk about whatever you want. I mean, what's the most random 8-track that you still have in your collection? And maybe it's something that you think, you got your iPod set on shuffle and you got friends over, and then all of a sudden that song comes on and you're like, oh. Yeah, my son must have put that on there or something. I don't know. Boy, I don't know how that got there. But what is it? I mean, I can start calling some of y'all out because I know what the answer is for a few of you. What? Run On? Okay. That's 8-track. Okay. All right, Mark. Fiddle Faddle. Okay. Okay. Little Fiddle Faddle, and you had to take that little plastic piece and put it in the middle of the 45s. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, Little Bieber. All right. What is that? The song solely about shoes. All right. All right. I appreciate your bravery. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I got a little some of the smooth sounds of John Cicada, who was a former backup singer for Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine. Confession's good for the soul, friends. I mean, it really is. You got to get that stuff out. The reason I ask is because there's a song that I heard on my iPod this week, and I'm not embarrassed by it at all, but it was pretty random, given the outside temperature. Because one song that stays on my iPod forever and ever is "O Holy Night." That's by far and away my favorite Christmas song, and I mean whether it's a congregation singing it, whether it's just part of it in, Harry Chapin's song, Mr. Tanner, whether it's full-blown choir, whether it's somebody like Drew at midnight on Christmas Eve all by himself, those kinds of things. I love, absolutely love that song. And the version that I have on my iPod is actually by a band called Third Day. And so they kind of, most go up to 10, but Third Day goes up to 11. And this song, it just rocks, and it's amazing. And I was listening to it the other day, though, and these words, the very first lines of the song: "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth." These next two lines are my favorite lines out of the whole song. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. We're called to be a people who behave. The author of Colossians has a whole list of unhealthy behaviors in this letter, and we could add any hundreds more to that list, but we are called to be people that behave. And we are called to be people that believe. And I believe that when the soul feels its worth, that we no longer look for our value and our meaning in those behaviors that Paul is telling us to stay away from. When we believe that we are loved by God, then we no longer feel the need to give our body away. We no longer feel the need to curse other people. We no longer feel the need to use that abusive language. We no longer feel the need to find our value in food or alcohol or drugs when the soul feels its worth. So behave. Behave, but not just because Paul tells you that you should, but behave because you are a beloved child of God and your soul has worth and your life and your body has value. Believe. Believe that you are loved. And then behave. Behave like one who is loved by God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the many ways that you have spoken to us through Scripture over the years. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son into this world that our souls might feel their worth. So we pray, Lord, we pray that you would help us behave as those who are loved by you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us behave as those who love you. And we pray these and all things in the name of your beloved Son, who taught us the words we now say together. Our Father.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to learn more about Northminster Presbyterian Church, visit us online at northminster-atl.org.